Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to American Allegiance radio program on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I'm your host, Kevin White. I'm coming around your corner and up your block, okay? Larry, can you say that kind of stuff? Tonight, we're going to have a special guest, but before we have that, I'm going to plug my company, Brownie Fox Publishing. Lots of books, www.browniefoxpublishing.com. There's probably something for you. We're just starting out. We released our first four books about 4 weeks ago. And we're having a lot of fun doing it. And trust me, it's a lot of work, but it's worth the payoff. And soon we'll be adding more authors to our scroll. And right now, the youngest one is only 8 years old, genius book. All these things that we have, we make sure they're awesome. People want to read them. Sales are doing really good right now. And we're enjoying every minute of it. So right now, our guest tonight is Donald Clanahan. He is a man of mystery, sort of, and we're going to try to get some information out of him. But right now, I'm very interested in the things he's doing. He's a Facebook friend. He lives in Big Bear, California, and I'm going to bring him on.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good evening, Donald. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Let's let the audience Good. Know from the get-go. That's my moniker. That's my public moniker. The Donald Clanahan.
Well, Donald Clanahan, a man of many talents. You want to tell us about yourself a little bit?
Well, where do I begin? I'm an international man of mystery. I've done a great deal of things in my life, so it's kind of hard when people ask me what do I do for a living when I've done a great deal. The good Lord's blessed me considerably. I've probably done more than most people, but I would say I've done everything from, I've been a mechanical engineer. I've been a computer programmer. I've done, been a personal bodyguard. I've been a bouncer. I've operated heavy equipment. I've driven OTR, that's over the road, for anyone that's not familiar with the terminology. I've worked in Hollywood for over 35 years, started out as a grip. I've done everything from illustration, production design illustration, storyboards, writer, producer, director. I mean, I've worn a lot of hats, so that's what I mean when I say I've been very blessed. God's blessed me with a lot of talents, a lot of skills, and so I feel very fortunate. Most people don't have that that skill set and or that life experience, which is fine. My father was an artist, World War II veteran, and but he had a family, started a young family right after World War II. But he was a bombardier navigator on an A-20 Havoc, if you're not familiar with that aircraft. It was a light fighter bomber, very popular during the war because it was highly maneuverable, carried a nice bomb load. But he was grounded eventually after the third crash, and his best friend, Cliff, was killed. He was the pilot, and so was the rear gunner. And my father was the only one to survive that crash, and that's why they grounded him. So that's where I come from. I'm also related to President John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, as well as John Brown, the abolitionist, as well as Walter Brown, who was a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, and he actually followed Teddy Roosevelt, and that's where he got his Pulitzer Prize from. He followed Teddy Roosevelt into the Spanish-American War, and that was just before World War I, I believe. But a pretty broad wide history. That's where I come from. That's my background. I'm definitely an American patriot. I would call myself a constitutional conservative. I didn't really particularly like the direction I saw the Republican Party going. They were becoming more liberal. So that was problematic for me. I did vote for Donald Trump. Love him. I waited 30 plus years to vote for the man. I voted for him twice. He had the 2020 election stolen from him. So, I mean, I'm pretty outspoken, even though I, you know, worked in Hollywood, but I've had to keep a low profile as far as my conservatism, because for obvious reasons, but there are conservatives in Hollywood.
Right.
Make
right.
no mistake.
Yeah. You have Sly Stallone. You have all kinds of people that people don't realize, you know, they're standing up for that. And I totally understand that. So you said you were a bouncer. That's interesting.
Yeah, once upon a time. Well, I put myself
so before you became
college.
An engineer?
Yeah,
what was that?
Actually, I became an engineer, computer programmer. I've been bouncing pretty much since my early 20s. I got my first job bouncing. I was also a private security. I did bodyguard work. I worked with the Jackson 5, REO Speedwagon. I mean, these are bands from the 70s, 80s. But I had a chance
awesome.
You know, to work. What's that?
That's pretty awesome. That's a good list of people there. You just, I mean, the Jackson 5, they were awesome. They've been, you know, my heroes since I was a kid. And, you know,
yeah, same here.
That's amazing just to hear that. Yeah.
And my life has been pretty much, as far as my life in Hollywood and my private life, they've always intersected. I've had the opportunity to work with pretty much a lot of the people that I really admired as a kid. I mean, I grew up reading Stan Lee's Spider-Man, for example, and I worked
Nice.
With Stan for about 5 years. So that's what I mean. I've had a very I don't really talk about it outside of, for example, this interview or this conversation. If it happens to come up in conversation, then I'll talk about it. But I'm actually a pretty modest guy. I've been very fortunate. In my life, as I've said, God's blessed me considerably. And I think the reason he's done that is, you know, I'm doing his work, and I always give glory to him. And it's not my I just basically go with the program. I go with the flow, and he's always blessed me for doing that.
You know, I totally get that. And that those are just regular people, you know, just because you happen to work in a certain industry. I mean, that's your job. And I totally get it,
yeah,
because it was like that in the military. That's my job.
Yeah,
right?
That's pretty much my attitude has always been. It's my job. Listen, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you and me. They're no different than you and me. They just happen to have, you know, what people think of as a glamorous job. But no matter what, the ones who do well, for example, Clint Eastwood, he's had a very long, productive career. They actually have very conservative work ethics, morals, and values. And that's the reason. I mean, they think of themselves as working class people. And it's those ones you'll notice that have the very long-lived careers, because they just think of themselves as an average Joe. And Clint Eastwood, by the way, is a former
right.
Korean War veteran. So I have a particular place in my heart for veterans in particular and service members. It's near and dear to my heart, and I have a lot of respect for everyone who's served, everyone who's serving, anyone who's ever served. I mean, I consider that a great honor. It doesn't matter whether you were fueling jets, you know, you were a flight line mechanic. You're doing your job. You're doing a service to we the people. And I just want to say thank you so much to each and every one of our service members.
Well, thank you. You know, I mean, that's what everybody chose. That's the great thing about our military is, people who are there want to be there. And there's what happened, you know, during Vietnam wasn't a good idea. I know they needed the bodies, but you have a lot of things that, you know, people don't, there's things that they won't do. If you get drafted, you don't want to be there. The people
right.
that want to be there are the people you want in there, and that's their job. And like you're talking about mechanics, you know, I was a mechanic for 30 years on A7s and F-16s, and what we do, everything, every position fits together like a glove. So everybody's needed to make the mission go, and that's how it works.
Yeah, that's what I actually admire about the military is that everyone's working together as a team. So really, whatever your job is, just remember, you're a team member, and there is no I in team, you know. It really
exactly.
is a team effort. And that's the beauty of American military service is an all-volunteer. People are there because they want to be. They serve regardless of the politics of whoever's in office at any given moment in time. They're there. I've got my cousin, let me give a shout out to him, Joe Meskin, former U.S. Army Ranger medic. He was in Dak Tao, decorated Medal of Valor, Purple Heart. So I definitely, that's my family history. That's what I come from. My son just finished serving in Afghanistan. He did 8.5 years, had a medical discharge, received battle wounds. He was always volunteering. He got his sergeant stripes in 4.5 years. So, you know, he's definitely, you know, loved what he was doing. He was sad because of the medical discharge. He wanted to be a lifer. Yeah, but that's pretty much how my family rolls. We always have. Like I said, I'm related to President John Quincy Adams, as well as obviously John Adams, as well as Samuel Adams. These are America's founding fathers, and that's the history I come from.
Yeah.
So
that's fascinating in itself. I mean, that's the ultimate heritage right there. That's what how I look at it, because I mean, you can't get any better than that. You know, everybody's important as American, but they were leaders of our country and founders. So that's just amazing.
Correct.
That you go back that far.
And
that's about tradition.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, I can speak for, I think, my entire family. We're very, especially my siblings, that's how we were raised. I mean, we're raised to, you know, God, family, and country. And there's nothing wrong with those values, those morals, and those ethics. That's what's brought America this far. And I see a lot of what's going on today is a destruction, you know, of America, very deliberate. And there's a reason for that.
Absolutely.
America represents,
absolutely,
America throughout the world represents the light of liberty, you know, the light of freedom, individual rights. And if those in power, when I say those, I mean globalists in general, they don't like that. I mean, they want their new world order, and they've been trying to enact that new world order since just before World War One. And they make it sound rosy. They make it sound rosy and nice, but really, what it is has its roots in Marxism. It has its roots in communism. It has its roots in socialism, and that's why you see what you see today. You know, throughout the world, they don't like somebody like America, you know, being a light and a beacon to the world. That undermines their ultimate goal, which is to have a one world government.
You know, and America standing in the way, because everybody else will collapse without America.
Yeah, and exactly, and that's why they didn't like President Donald Trump. President Donald Trump, God bless him. You know, I would have voted for him if he was a Democrat. It didn't matter to me what I waited over 30 plus years to vote for. The man I waited for, regardless of the, you know, his political affiliation, was the man himself. That man's an American patriot, always has been, and
right.
He was standing in their way, and they wanted to get him out of office.
Yes, and that's the whole goal. And now that they've done it with the machines and everything else, and America first is what he was about, and you don't see that too often. And you know, that's what patriots. I mean, I grew up on an Air Force base, and everything was all about America, all about the flag. And so this is kind of like, it's hard to believe that we've come this far. You know, growing up in the 60s and 70s, it was always about America, and we have parades and flags everywhere. You don't see that anymore, and now it's almost a form of hate speech for some people.
To be a patriot.
Yes.
Although
I am very outspoken. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm very outspoken. I've never been afraid to be a proud American ever. And you know,
same
I
here.
Always speak up, speak out. You know, that's part of our free speech, and so is our right to have our vote count and not have our vote undermined, which is exactly what this previous 2020 presidential election was. They stole Americans' voice. If that isn't a violation of one tenet and one aspect of the First Amendment right, you tell me what is. I mean,
right,
it's just,
you know,
it's
one
I mean,
thing.
Think about all the
like
service
members.
Think about
yeah,
all our
see, that's what I was going to say.
All their votes that were basically thrown in the trash.
That's
really?
Right.
Are you going to do that to people who are Americans who serve America? They put their lives on the line. They make so many sacrifices, whether it's being away from their
yes.
family, their loved ones.
Exactly.
And the ultimate sacrifice, they sacrificed like the 13 Marines in Afghanistan. They were, and listen, that was murder in my book. And
yeah, because when you're over there
Joe
fighting. Yes. Uh-huh. You're right. You're right. When the military members are over there, they expect their ballots, absentee ballots, to count.
Right.
And when it doesn't, yes, every American should. But they're out there
yeah.
on the front lines defending the Constitution for real. You know, they're just like your son, your
right.
cousin. It's all, you know, and what does it mean when they don't have a say? They're still
right.
citizens.
In my book, that's extremely egregious. That's traitorous. Anyone and everyone who's in government, whether they're a bureaucrat, you know, they're not a non-elected official, which you'll notice, that's pretty much the bureaucrats that are really running our government. It's not our elected officials. Our elected officials are pretty
yeah.
much, you know, they're just window dressing. You've got these bureaucrats that are, you know, running Washington, D.C., and they do it through
right. and
fiat.
Yep. You're right, because they have no oversight. They have nobody to answer to, and that's they can do whatever they want, and there's no law that's going to catch them, and that's what's wrong with our leaders today.
And if they're silencing the votes of our American service members, they're silencing everyone. I mean, we the people are no longer in charge here, folks. I'm sorry to say. If you're not aware
that's
of
right.
that, I think many in your audience are. I mean, it's no longer a government which is governed by we the people, for the people, by the people. It's a very select few, and if you study history, any type of ism, it's the very few governing over the many. That's not – and one of the fallacies, if I can digress further, but it comes back to what we're talking about – we're not a democracy. We never have been. That's the biggest lie that's been promulgated for the last 100 years, and it's just become a bigger and bigger lie. The U.S. Constitution outlines very specifically the federal government's limitations. It doesn't limit we the people. It limits federal government, and the form of government which is intended, purposely so, to govern over we the people in this order is first and foremost your local government, then your state government, then the federal government. And the federal government is supposed to ensure the integrity, you know, that all forms of government, whether local, state, or federal, uphold the tenets of the U.S. Constitution. That's not happening anymore. We were set up as a republic. We have very limited forms of democratic governance, and they're outlined very clearly within the U.S. Constitution what they can and cannot do, period. It's not meant for interpretation. If you study our founding fathers, they've said time and time again, well, why would we black and white if it was meant to be interpreted? We did that intentionally to basically limit government. It's not to limit us. It's to limit
exactly.
them. But everything's, you know, if I can use a phraseology or phrase that some might be offended, it's ass backwards. That's not how it's supposed to be, folks.
So
but
now
we're
we the peons now, so instead of we the people.
Well
shut up,
get to the rear of the bus and, you know, listen to what we tell you to do. No. that's not how it is.
Yeah.
And that's why you get all this, like this social media. They're silencing American, well, everyone really across the globe, but in America, Facebook in particular, they are so anti-truth. For example, their community standards.
Exactly.
Really?
Yes.
Whose community standards are you
talking
about? They
have no standards.
The American community?
I think it's the Chinese community. Who knows?
Well, their community standards are dependent entirely upon, well, is it against socialism, Marxism, and communism? I had, for example, between 2018 and 2019, that account that I had was suspended, Donald Clanahan, 10 months out of 12. 10 months out of 12. And all I was saying was the truth. I was speaking the truth. I was even using factual information. I wasn't stating my opinion. And that's what they don't like. They don't like their presentation of facts. They don't like, and that's Marxism, that's socialism, that's communism. If you go counter to the official party politics, you're silenced. It's not free speech. That goes against free speech.
Right.
That's why, for example, with COVID, I'll touch on COVID. COVID is nothing but a control mechanism. They use that as a control mechanism to see how far they could go. I'm not discounting the actual fact of COVID, but they never advertised who it really affected, and it was those with pre-existing medical conditions, and that was an engineered. It's come out in government white papers. That was an engineered biological entity. It wasn't something that they took it, they ran with it, and then anyone who understands biology, genetics, it's relatively easy. You can do it at home. You can actually manipulate DNA in your own home if you have the right lab equipment. You go out and buy it off the internet. So it's not rocket science. It really isn't. I mean,
so that came out last night, I believe. It came out yesterday, the 900-page report. Dr. Fauci actually paid for that transmission from bats to people, and he's actually responsible for it. But you don't see that on CNN. I saw it on Yahoo News this morning.
Well, that's because they're the mouth organs of the Marxists, you know, the globalists. Make no doubts about it. Socialism is communism light, period. That's what it is. And even,
right, and that's what they're doing in the media. Did you know that Pfizer is paying CNN anchors and all these other people and these hospitals and everything to not talk bad about Fauci? And it's crazy what's coming out now. And now you know why they're not reporting it, because they're being paid millions. Like a third of their pay is from Pfizer Pharma.
Well, they're not news. They're not journalists. Journalists report the news. What they are is propagandists. So the official party line, that's what propaganda is. I know, because I spent 10 years living and working in China. I had my own studio over there.
Oh, really?
I was there from 1997 to 2007. All right. I had my first studio was in Taipei, Taiwan. We moved it to Shanghai. Now, over that 10-year period, I met with Politburo members. And if you don't know this, Shanghai's probably the most powerful province in all of China. China is similar in that, but their states, they're not states like we're the United States of America. They are provinces, and Shanghai is one of the most powerful provinces. So I got to meet with very powerful business leaders, very powerful politicians, and military. I met with I grew up around the mob in Cleveland, okay? I met Jimmy Hoffa when I was probably about 6 years old. My father was, I don't know if I should be saying this. My father actually, he had ties to the mob, okay? He was a collector. I met Jimmy Hoffa because Jimmy Hoffa, my father, was one of his enforcers. My father was a former, he was a Golden Gloves champion in high school, West Technical High School. He was a U.S. Army bantamweight champion, undefeated. He started semi-pro. He had to give that up because his coach told him, and I inherited his wrists. He says, "Your wrists, you don't have the wrists to be a boxer." So my father walked away from that. But, you know, as another aside, my four brothers and I, my father told us that if a man can't defend himself, his loved ones or his friends, he's not a man. So he basically threw us in the backyard in a little makeshift boxing ring and show us how to box. I took to it really well. I've got really fast hands, but I can remember plenty of black eyes, bloody noses, fat lips between my brothers and I. I got really good at it. By the time I was 6 years old, I was beating up my oldest brother, who was older brother was 9 years old. Long story short, that's kind of a background on my father's side. He was a tough guy. You know, he wasn't a pushover, and he passed that on to his sons. But that aside, you know, I know what I'm looking at. I also have associates there, you know, mob associates that I've known for decades. And I know the mob when I see it. And so I'd be going to these meetings in Shanghai in China, and it's pretty much the government is run like a mob. It's a giant mob, literally. And so I would meet with these officials, military officials in particular, and I would have to walk up 10 flights of stairs. And at each landing at this flight of stairs were bodyguards, and I'd get searched. I got searched no less than 10 times before I met with the communist Red Army general, you know, to talk about doing a script. They wanted me to write a script for it was kind of a Private Ryan type of film, but it was definitely, right, you know, Marxist, communist. They wanted a propaganda film. And I told them after that, I said, listen, if you guys want to make a genuine film about a character, that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in writing a propaganda film. That's not something I want to do. And but I met with, over the period of a few weeks, a number of people, very powerful people. Trust me, the Chinese have more than enough money to throw around at anybody, to buy anybody. And if there's one thing the mob and communists understand, is that money can buy anything except me. That doesn't matter to right. me. I mean, I had a mob friend that wanted to start a studio, and he wanted me to head it. And I knew what that meant. And one of the things I learned about the mob was never give them anything that they can hold you under their thumb. So I never did that. You know, I never gave them something, you know, that they could hold over me, they could lord over me.
Right.
And that was, you know, one of the many lessons I learned, very valuable lesson, but I was offered $250,000 a year to just head up the studio. That was just my salary. That didn't include any bonuses. So, and then that's how I looked at, for example, if I can digress, President Trump. They didn't like him because he couldn't be bought. The guy's a billionaire already. And he donated his
right.
entire salary, right? Donated his entire salary the whole time he was in office. What other president
exactly.
do you know that did that? I can't think of any in my collective memory.
You know, right. Nobody even think about that. I mean, that's something you would even think about. Probably.
Yeah, now think about Joe Biden. President Joe Biden, you know, I like to call him Mao Biden. What's this guy? The guy's been bought off his entire life. So these useless idiots that did vote for him, and I'm sure there were people that were voted for him but didn't want to, and they went to their grave not wanting to vote for someone like that, right? Like my father. My father was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat his entire life, but he was old-school Democrat, so was my mother. But we were raised with old-fashioned American values. They never influenced their 8 children how they should think, what they should think. They taught us to be independent. You know, think independent. Think for yourself. Never rely on anyone. Don't count on anyone. That's how we were raised, you know, to think for ourselves. So after the election, you know, let's rewind back to President Reagan. And I remember President Reagan. That's his, for example, when he ran, I don't know how many people know this, the Republican Party did not want to nominate him. The only reason they did was he agreed to have George Bush Sr. as his running mate. And without digressing further into that, that was so they could keep tabs on him. That was so they could keep President Reagan under control. When they tried to assassinate him, they fired over his bow to say, hey, you better toe the line or else. And what did you notice? His second term, he was pretty ineffectual. He wasn't himself after that. But that being said, I asked my father, I said, Dad, who'd you vote for? He said, I voted for Ronald Reagan. I said, Ronald Reagan, you've been Democrats your entire lives. Quote, unquote, this is what my father said at that time. He said, well, the Democrat Party are turning into socialists. They're nothing but a bunch of communists anymore. This is over 30 years ago my father said this. Now fast forward to President Trump, and I saw them treating him like they treated Reagan, and they pulled every stop, lied, cheated, steal, and he won that election in 2016. And they were probably beside themselves. How the hell did he do this? So they had no other choice, but by 2020, they had to pull all the stops, commit massive election fraud. Yeah. And remember what I said. When was the last time you or anyone can remember a landslide victory? I don't remember it since Ronald Reagan. That was the last time there was any landslide victory of a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
You notice,
you're right.
You notice it's always around a 48-47% to 50-51% split, right?
Right.
For the past 40 years, it's been like that. Well, why is that? Because the algorithm. Remember, I used to be a computer programmer. I knew that right from the get-go when I started seeing this. It's like, all right, the computer algorithm, it'll switch votes from one person to another, and it'll keep it relatively close, but they'll win by, you know, a few percentages, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just common sense. When's the last election, presidential election, anyone won by a landslide? And that's because they've been using it, you know, election fraud, i.e. via these Dominion-type voting machines. They do. That's what the
show up in the age of the computer. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I see that now. You know,
now remember,
manipulation.
I have a degree in mechanical engineering and computer science, a double major. That's what I've done. Well, the reason I stopped doing that was, do you remember the film Matrix? In the opening scene,
mm-hmm.
where you see nothing but the lines of code, ones and zeros. I'd go to bed at night, and that's what I would see, literally streams of ones and zeros. I couldn't sleep. Like, I got to stop this. I would literally dream in lines of code, machine code. So that's why I got out of that. But be that as it may, I think I can recognize computer algorithms, at a glance, just by the way things fall out. And it's the same with Facebook, the way they ghost people, the way they shadow block people. Their algorithms, for example, when you use a particular word, and that's how they're doing. Now, some of it's done with their little minions, their supposed fact checkers, but the world folks going into the close to the mid 21st century, it ain't what it used to be. It's just not the same anymore, and we've moved away from former roots as a republic, and we're going into a democratic socialist. And remember, as far as that goes, Nazi Germany thought of themselves as democratic socialists. Remember,
right.
The former USSR, United Soviet Socialist Republic, they thought of themselves as being democratic. Remember the Viet Cong, they thought of themselves as being democratic. So don't, ancient Rome, when ancient Rome fell, it was established. There's only been three republics, true republics, in the history of the world over the past 12,000 years of civilization, 10 to 12,000 years. Depends on who you talk to. which group of archaeologists. But generally speaking now, it's accepted that the civilization goes back between 10 and 12,000 years. So think about that. In 10 or 12,000 years, there's only been three real republics. And what were they? Ancient Greece, ancient Rome, and the United States of America. And each of those fell to what? They fell into a democracy. So let them fool you into thinking, oh, yeah, we're a democracy. That's a sure sign of, you're not going to last too much longer. You're about ready to fall into the ash heap, of history. I don't know about you, but I, as an American, especially a dyed-in-the-wool, red, white, and true blue American, I don't want to see America fall into the ash heap.
I said that when I spoke down in Naples. Anybody who says we're a democracy is an enemy of the country, because to the republic for which it stands, it's not a democracy. That's not what it's supposed to be. We don't want to have a democracy. It doesn't work.
Think about what Vladimir Lenin said. Democracy is nothing but a step towards socialism. Socialism is communism. To some extent, that's pretty much what Vladimir Lenin, who was, good buds with who? Trotsky. Now, who had Trotsky assassinated? Stalin. These are, that's something else that these useless idiots, I call them useless idiots. Lenin called them useful idiots. Why do you call them useful idiots? Because they're idiots and they're supporting a regime, i.e. at that time, Lenin and his cronies, to basically the few to run slipshod over the many. And that's pretty much where we're at right now. I mean, we've got the few. Look at Pelosi and all her cronies. I mean, all these people, they're wringing their hands with glee over, what frauds they've been able to commit. It's like here in California, we're on the recall election of Gavin Newsom. But I don't know how many of your listeners understand or know that Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is the nephew of Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Now, you can't tell me, if they can pull off election fraud in a presidential election, I think it's pretty easy for them to do at state and local levels. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. One example is Kamala Harris did not win the attorney general until 3 days later after they did a recount. So things worked to their advantage. It's so corrupt in California. That's my home state, by the way. I'm sad to see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, I came out to California a little over 35 years ago, and it was pretty much 60% conservative, 40% liberal, believe it or not. That's the average Joe. And then that changed about 2001. It swung the other way. Now, I myself believe that in California in particular, they've locked it up. I.e. as far as committing election fraud. They're very good at it. I've lived out here. Believe it or not, there are more, well, there used to be. They're all moving to Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio, Florida, like New York denizens are, fleeing New York for good reason, and they're going to a state like Florida. But it used to be, it used to be a very conservative, state. And now, it's pretty much a socialist apparatchik, which is just an apparatus of a Marxist,
Well, government. Who's responsible for a lot of that is was actually Jim Jones, the Reverend Jim Jones, that went down to French Guiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's what they call California values. That was from him, and that's what Willie Brown thought was the next Messiah or the next Gandhi. Pelosi was there with them too. I mean, and Feinstein, they thought he was somebody, greater than the average man. And that's the guy that gave him the people to vote and flood the election houses and everything. That's what his job was. He sent his followers there and voted at many precincts over and over again before they had the computers. That's how a lot of people got in.
Yeah. And when they go rogue, as anyone is sometimes prone to do, they just knock them off. You know, they kill them. But if you think about it, from what I've researched on Jim Jones, for example, I think he used to be a CIA operative, wasn't he? You have some connections to the CIA somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all that he would be, because he knew everything about everybody in politics.
Yeah,
and they bowed to him back then.
Yeah, and it, you know, just as a stream of conscious thought because of the topic, I can remember, for example, George Bush Sr., you know, being the director of the CIA, right? And when he was nominated to be the vice presidential running mate, and he was denying he had any ties to the CIA, I'm like,
right.
You were the director.
Yeah.
And then he backtracked, as they like to say, and okay, yeah, I was, but that'll have no influence over my public office. And so he basically resigned, right? But the CIA today is not what it used to be, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, think about it. The CIA pretty much was founded for counterintelligence, you know, foreign governments, right? Counterinsurgency, right? But
right.
They weren't happy doing that. And then you get infiltrators within, for example, anyone that does their homework. Barack Obama's grandfather was a CIA field director, if I recall correctly. Something like that.
That is correct.
Now think about who financed Barack Obama. Does anybody ever think about these despots and these tyrants, how they rise out of obscurity? It takes money. Where does that money come from? Who's financing them? I mean, this goes back to ancient Rome. I mean, just Sparta. You know, the ancient Greeks were financing Sparta. What did Sparta
right.
eventually do? And so, you know, CIA, you know, to come back to the CIA, they've now used the skills of their trade within America itself. I don't know about you, but that's pretty traitorous. That's traitorous activity. Now, my understanding is there are basically, like in all of our agencies, all of our government agencies, there's basically two factions. You have the socialists, Marxists, communists, and you have the conservatives. These are the two factions who are vying for control. Right now, I would say that obviously, you know, it's tilted in favor of, you know, the Marxists, which, by the way, I think it was Barack Obama's father was a Marxist, right? He was a communist, right?
Right.
So, I mean, if anyone actually does their research, and I'm real heavy into research as a writer, you know, I've always loved history since I was a kid. I mean, that's been my, you know, one of my primary passions is history. And I can pretty much talk with anyone about history going back 10 to 12,000 years. I mean, since I was a kid, since I became cognizant of my own individuality, you know, 11, 12 years old, that's normal. That's about when everyone becomes aware that, oh, wait a minute, I'm so-and-so. And then you start searching for yourself. And that's what the teenage years are all about, which is also why communist Marxism targets children. Nazism, that's what they did. And that's so that they can mold. The children's minds are very impressionable. Now we got them going back to kindergarten, right? They're latching onto them,
yeah.
You know, into kindergarten.
Yeah.
So it's we're in a battle, folks. It's what I guess they would call a soft war. You know, they're battling for the minds of our children. They're going after our children, which is why you see these useless idiots again in Antifa. You know, talk about a bunch of what was it? The supposed founder of Antifa, she goes and buys herself some multi-million-dollar homes. Well, folks, do you ever ask yourselves, those who are their useless idiots, where'd they get the money from? Again, it always follows the money. Where's that money coming from?
I know exactly where they got. That was BLM. They raised that money through the riots and everything. And they, believe it or not, they raised over $10 billion. And most of that went to the Act Blue organization. and they only got like $9 million from it, and no black person was helped through BLM. I wrote an article for a magazine over that, and it was very eye opening how much control. Mm-hmm. And then they went to Biden trying to get little insight into the White House and policies, and he completely ignored them. And they said, don't hire Buttigieg, don't hire this guy. Everybody they said don't hire because they're racist. He hired every single one of them. So I thought it was funny.
Well, think about
you can't make demands like that.
Who's financing Mal Biden? Who's financing Mal Biden?
Well, you just said it. It's right there in the word you said. That's exactly who is. And, you know,
yeah,
that's
my favorite, the double entendre, the rhetorical question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's obvious, especially since I spent 10 years living and working among communist Chinese. And I'll tell you something else. I love Chinese culture. I love the Chinese people. They have an expression that the Chinese people do, and it goes like this. The Chinese people are forever. That's their attitude.
That is so true.
And God bless, you know, that's one of the oldest cultures, societies in the world. It's 5,000 years old. It's crazy. But I had the chance to get to know the difference between the two. And the point being, the Chinese government and the Chinese people's mind, they're temporary. You know, they're not going to be around.
Well, it's just another dynasty. I mean, go back to all those dynasties they had. That's how they see it. I mean, their history is so much more rich than ours is here in the United States.
Yeah.
They've got like centuries of the past that they can look on, and they still keep that tradition and everything. So
yeah,
I got a question for you about China.
Uh-huh.
When you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
I have a friend who's an aircraft mechanic, and he works at a local airline. He was teaching English in China, and he would say, he'd get off the map and say, this says Starbucks, but that's not really Starbucks. It's over on this side. And there are places that they intentionally, on Google Earth, they'll mislabel, so people
mm-hmm.
don't really know where it is. I think that's fascinating. Why would – I mean, they go through – if they do that, what else do they do? Sort of like
yeah.
their social credit scores and everything. They're doing things over
right.
there that we've never dreamed of.
Oh, but trust me, they would love to be – there are plenty of politicians who are, shall we say, communist-minded, would love to have that kind of power. And they're trying it in certain cities. I think it's Minnesota recently. They're trying it, but ultimately I think the average American, they're not as dumb as these people would like to think we the people are. And I can remember talking to a Chinese politician, you know, Chinese communist, and he said, I can recall a great many conversations, but this one on the topic of what we're talking about. He said, what is the difference between Americans and Chinese people? And I said, I'll tell you what the biggest difference is. We're taught to think for ourselves. We're independent thinkers. Your culture, no offense, it's a hive mentality. You all think of yourselves as not as individuals, and I see it all the time. I mean, that's a downfall for your government. That's a problem for your people, because really where innovation comes from is the individual. Thomas Alva Edison, how many inventions came out of his mind because he had the freedom to do just that, whereas here in China, they're told what to think. You guys can only copy. You're good technicians like the Japanese were and are, like the Taiwanese were and are, but you don't have enough independent thinkers because your government won't allow it. That's the biggest hindrance to China overpowering the United States. You might be able to do it fiscally, financially. You might be able to do it with numbers, but that's what nuclear weapons are all about. You know this. I mean, America learned one thing from the Korean War. If they only learned one thing is what, you know, if the numbers become too massive, just nuke them. That's what the nukes were about in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We didn't want to invade Japan. They knew the holy hell how many hundreds of thousands, probably millions of Americans we're going to die. Look at what happened on Okinawa. So you don't think that the American military doesn't remember those lessons? So, I mean, it might seem like you'll be able to do that, but ultimately, and that's why I think recently it's come out where China's been looking at the scenario of neutron bombs, using neutron bombs, EMPs. I mean, it's all coming out in government white papers. You know, they know that the only way that they would have chance of winning would – listen, the Chinese aren't stupid either. They do not want to destroy infrastructure, because who's going to pay for that? What's the United States been doing
right.
since World War II? We've rebuilt the countries that we basically annihilate, right? Look what we did to Japan and what they come back and do, right?
Yeah.
So the Chinese
right. –
listen, if the Chinese – there's a reason, there's an expression, you'll have to forgive me, but they're referred to as the Jews of the Orient. And no offense to Jews, because I'm part Jewish. What that means is they're not stupid. They're very shrewd, especially, you know, financially. For example, globalist thinking that they have China under control. Yeah, you might want to rethink that, because it's the Chinese actually who are manipulating you. They're very good at that. Remember, this country, these people, this society, this culture has been around for 5,000 years. The Egyptians didn't stick around. But what? Oh, maybe 2,000 years, 3,000 years, right? And then they fell. China's been around for 5,000 years. Do you really think that you're going to be able to control them? I think not.
Absolutely not. No.
And that's why you don't go to war with them either. I mean, any war, it's always won through attrition, right? That's how we beat the Nazi Germany in World War II. That's why we had a stalemate in World War I. I mean, it ultimately always comes down to how many warriors can you afford to lose, ultimately, in order to win the war. That's why we dropped the bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That was, you know, that was the great equalizer. But nobody wants to do that.
Yep.
Nobody wants. The Chinese aren't stupid. They're not going to drop nuclear thermal weapons. Listen, everybody in the world knows that we're willing to do that, obviously, right? Push comes to shove,
yep.
The United States will do that. We've proven that. But we don't take it.
Oh, yeah.
Truman, you know, he agonized over that. Roosevelt agonized over it. He didn't really want to, but he wanted to. They were arguing against it. They really didn't want to. There's a reluctancy, thank God, you know, to just be slinging nuclear weapons around, unlike North Korea, which, you know, runs around, you know, threatening they're going to, you know, blow up this enemy.
Yeah,
and
they're all
enemy. Ultimately,
they're all,
you know, yeah, ultimately, nobody really wants to do that. You know, it's just a foolish thing to do. But the Chinese will consider neutron bombs. They will consider an EMP. They will consider being able – that's why they want – they're not stupid. Again, they want Americans disarmed. What do you think Joe Biden, Mao Biden, is there to do? Obama was there to do that but couldn't do it. So, Americans, whatever you do, do not give up your Second Amendment. That's the one thing that us – you know, keeps the enemy at bay, is the fact that, you know, we've got multiple, what is it, there are 300 million small arms out and about within America's borders, and their estimates there are about 101 million Americans who actually own those 300 million weapons.
Right.
I mean, I say, America, you're not buying enough weapons. Buy more. No, really, seriously.
So I got a question.
The Second Amendment. Huh?
We have 5 minutes left. I need to ask you about this NBC trailer, why you're building it. And if, for people who don't know what an NBC trailer is, NBC is nuclear biological chemical attack.
Yeah, contamination.
Protection.
Correct.
Contamination. Oh, that's different. It's, in the military, it's chemical, but it's the same thing. Same thing.
Yeah, same difference. Yeah, I've been building that now. I've been working on it collectively, the actual cumulative time. I've probably got maybe $200 invested in it, but I've been working on it for about 4.5 years now. And the reason I did that, I mean, I've had my land in certain places. I've got 2 places. They're very remote, out of the way, no closer than 50 miles in one instance to a major metropolitan area, but that's for a reason. I don't, if we get caught with our pants down, for whatever reason, I want to be able to bug out. I'm a survivor. I mean, that's why I've had so many life experiences. My friends, the ones who know me well, they call me MacGyver because literally I've been out in the middle of the desert and I would make a pool and I would collect water and basically we'd have it was a tiny pool, mind you, one of those little kiddie plastic pools, but
right.
I'm a survivor. I'm the type of person, you know, I've been shot once, stabbed twice. My nose has been broken 5 times. My back has been broken 6 times. I mean, you name it, I broke it. But one of the things my father taught me was to fight for what's right. I've had guys twice my size. Mind you, I'm 205 pounds. At times I've been 250 pounds. Now that's working out 32-inch size waist. But point is that if you want to dance with me, I'll dance with you. But you're going to know you danced with me. And that's just my philosophy. You know, I'm a fighter.
Right.
You know, I'm not afraid of dying. I have no fear of death whatsoever. I know who my Lord and Maker is. When I die, I go to be with Him. So why would I fear death? Fear what's right. Did Jesus fear death? Sure, He did. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said the prayer He did, "Lord, if this cup may pass from me, let it pass." But He knew what was coming. And I have the same attitude. I think everyone should, you know who their Maker is. You know, it's God Almighty. And there's only one.
Just
I don't
be
know
ready.
How many religions there are. I've studied every religion in the world. You know, there is. I've traveled the world. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one Jesus Christ who died for you and me. But that doesn't mean I have a death wish. So my NBC trailer is basically to make sure I survive, me and a significant other, you know, whoever that may
and like
be.
I wrote on your page, you know, that NBC trailer, NBC concept proves that the masks don't work because there's so many holes in the theory and your face is open, your eyes are open. There's just so many things that I see that drive me crazy because we learned all that stuff in the military. It doesn't make any sense. The mask has no effect. Will not change anything. Just want to let everybody know. People don't, you know, don't realize how silly it is. Your eyes are the same as your mouth. You get something in your eyes, it's the same thing. Your nose, everything. So it doesn't really matter. Your ears. So we have 90 seconds left. Is there anything you want to talk about or anything you want to mention?
No, I just wanted to say, Kevin, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to yourself and your audience. God bless everyone. Know who your Maker is. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And whatever happens in the end really doesn't matter.
Exactly. I fully agree. So thank you,
Ultimate.
Donald. If you hold on, I'm going to put you back in the green room. And
okay, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you being here. And I hope the audience enjoyed it. You have a lot of stuff going on, and we appreciate everything we learned tonight. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Have a good night.
I hope they enjoyed it. Uh-huh. You too. Bye-bye.
So that was Donald Clanahan. Donald Clanahan, nice guy, awesome, well-rounded, in-depth, and I think we have 28 seconds. So anyway, thanks for watching the American Legions, listening to the program. And I simulcast this on Facebook today. And hopefully we have a lot of people that watched. And we'll be back next week, 7 p.m. Don't forget to watch James. James show tomorrow night. And Friday, another show we have scheduled Thursday. Yeah, Thursday and Friday. So we're going to have it packed this week. And thank you for coming on. And thank you. And good night. And that's the end of that, people. And
Hello.